we got some more right wingers this Sunday. Right. All right. Yeah. This side's always empty. The left side of the right wing. All right.
Yes, we're all still right side.
I mean, I used to be a right wing. I just want to throw that out.
Well, facing me, you're right.
I used to be a right winger, and then you moved me.
All right, 298 in your hymn book, Jessica.
Only hymn book, sir.
Jessica always wants to know, what are we using? What are we singing? And I'm like, I have no idea. You gotta wait till I gotta look at the screen, man. Don't you make the slides? That doesn't matter. I still don't know. That's one of the things that makes me happy, is I forget a lot of things.
Amen.
That sounds like dementia.
I've been accused of having select dementia. 298 in your hymn book. God leave us alone. All four verses, if I can get it all out. Play that intro one more time. First, I'll turn it on pages.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children. Through the fire, but all through the
this not too long ago. Now you're more familiar with it. You can sing out on all five verses. I will praise Him. Savior, first of all. Most of our people sing real good. Some of you, I know, aren't familiar with some of these songs, and I know I can't really sing out unless I know a song. But that's what's going to be heaven. There ain't going to be a single person not singing their hearts out before the Lord. Imagine that. And imagine the multitude. And we'll know the words, singing with confidence. Amen.
I shall know.
singing.
And good playing.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Those are instrument
people. Onliners, send your prayer requests into bbfohio@protonmail.com. Everybody say hi to the onliners.
Hi to the onliners.
All right. If you're in liners, get your paper, pencil, and write on the little prayer card your prayer request. Please keep it short and legible. I don't need an extensive explanation because I am praying to an omniscient God. He knows what we're talking about. And there's your reminder.
Thank you.
To mute mobile devices or switch to silent mode. I just want to say, hold your comments to the end of our current events update. 1-2 headline reviews in the news. Number one, am I the only one that is feeling COVID hysteria fatigue?
No, I don't think so.
That's good to know.
I wish there were more people like me.
Misery loves company, as they say. I just get tired of it. You know, with the hurricane and Afghanistan thing, you don't want to see tragedy, but it's like at least they're talking about something else.
Uh-huh.
It's like we had 4 years of Russia, 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 and now we've had going on 2.5 years of COVID, COVID, COVID. But the Biden administration is pressuring Israel to part the land. Park the land. That doesn't sound good. Is that familiar to any of you?
Oh, yeah.
You may remember Joel chapter 3 where God says he's going to judge those who force Israel to part the land.
Oh.
Remember that? Joel chapter 3 verses 1 through 3. This is a mail email that I got from the Temple Mount Faithful. They are Orthodox Jews, so they're not Christians. And they are planning to build a temple that the Bible says will go up there in Jerusalem after the rapture and during the 70th week of Daniel, when the Antichrist, according to Daniel 9:24-27, the Antichrist will confirm the covenant. Most prophecy teachers are clueless. They'll call it a peace treaty. The Bible says they're going to renew the covenant. What covenant? The covenant. What covenant's that? The Mosaic covenant. If you're a Jew, there's one, the covenant. And that's what they're going to renew after the rapture. The Antichrist makes this, it's a global agreement between him and Israel and the world that they're going to allow them to build a temple. They've already got the plans. You can see videos of it. And they have an area for all the Gentile religions to join them on the outer court and all that sort of thing. It'll be an ecumenical mess. It will be blasphemous, but it is also a fulfillment of prophecy. God said they're going to do it. And so as they're looking for the Messiah, because they reject the true Messiah, and getting ready to build this temple, this is the email that went out August 24th from the Temple Mount Faithful, a newsletter to lovers of Zion and Israel in the world. President Joe Biden and his administration started pressure on Israel to stop any building and any settlements in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, which means canceling of all pro-Israel actions of the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. The new policy of President Joe Biden is pro-Palestinian and Islam. He wants to establish a so-called Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria and to reestablish a Palestinian consulate in East Jerusalem, which means canceling the recognition of President Trump of United Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel. The settlers and the Temple Mount Faithful to President Joe Biden, it will never come to pass. Israel obeys only the God of Israel.
Amen. Go Israel.
Well, that's a nice attitude.
Yeah.
But the world has other plans, and the Antichrist will institute different plans temporarily. But what could go wrong?
This has been over the last few weeks to the end.
I noticed on the spelling there, they were G.
They always do that. That's an Orthodox thing.
That's showing.
So what could go wrong?
Okay.
Oh, maybe hurricanes.
Jenny said that this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder what if you said in Israel.
Well, I'll refer you to a book we have in our library where you can do the correlations between the major hurricanes and disasters in the United States and our administrations, regardless of who, trying to force Israel to part the land. I personally think part of the reason Donald Trump lost was Jared Kushner. He spent his time in Israel trying to get them to give up land. God says, no. That land belongs to God, and it belongs to the Jews, and you got a nation of unbelieving Jews, so it's a very messy thing right now. And what's going to happen is God's going to judge those unbelieving Jews. The saved Jews will go up in the rapture. But the ones that are left, two-thirds are going to die. And the one-third remnant that remains will be saved when Jesus returns and they look upon him whom they pierced. And they will mourn. They're not going to be happy about it at first. Why? Because they're going to realize for 2,000 years their entire ancestry has been wrong.
Yep.
And they have fought their own Messiah. I've had conversations numerous times through the years. I'm right now carrying on one online with an Orthodox Jew. And, you know, just trying to explain to him. He'll probably reject the Messiah till he dies or goes into the tribulation. But we also try to explain to Christians who are too stupid to understand the Bible that while we understand these things about unbelieving Israel, Israel is still Israel. They have a right to that land. Uh-huh. It's not your place or my place to condemn Israel or judge them or curse them. And if you curse them, God will still curse you. Because God still has a plan for the Jews.
Amen.
And God still says, you will not give up that land. And if and those who try to make you part that land, I will destroy them. That's why I believe there's no mention of the United States in Bible prophecy. Because the United States is always the country trying to force Israel to part that land. And so what happens? Well, you got this Hurricane Ida, supposed to be at least a category 4 before it hits New Orleans and could hit 5. We just had this warning shot. Henry or Henri, however you want to pronounce it. Henri. And killed people and destroyed hundreds of millions, if not into the billions of damage. And meanwhile, the rest of the nation burns. There's your list. All the forest fires in California, 1.5 million acres are burning. 12 fires, 0 contained. In Colorado, a fire of 4,000 acres is bigger. Actually, these are old statistics by about 48 hours. Most of these fires are much bigger than it says here. 0 contained. Idaho has 19 fires with only 1 contained. Minnesota, 2 fires, 0 contained. Montana, 20 with 1 contained. And on it goes. And all I can say is thank the Lord it's all out west. I feel sorry for anybody with my health condition out there because that would kill me, that smoke. So for a refresher course on past American involvement with Israel, get the book that we have. I think one copy. Yeah, one copy available. We keep 2 on hand. But it's called As America Has Done to Israel. We have a second copy. I'll go ahead and get it out and put it in there so that everybody can get it if you want. If you don't already own it, we gave away copies before.
Amen. Excellent.
And is this the current? Is this our recent update?
Well, it's the most current. Yeah. And then the second thing is related, I believe. The Biden trashed the Trump plan in Afghanistan, spelled wrong. And now 13 Americans are dead. And that's just the beginning, I believe. Why is that? Well, we read about it in Isaiah 3 this morning. When apostasy sets in, God lets you lose wars.
Yep.
Right.
Amen.
13 Americans have died because Joe Biden trashed the legitimate... We evacuating wasn't wrong, and some people are too dense to just understand anything that involves more than two variables. The right thing to do was to get out of Afghanistan because it was wrong to go in and try to turn that country into a constitutional republic in the first place. You will never turn a Muslim majority nation into any kind of democratic country. Islam is a theocracy. And if Islam rules, there is no democracy. Period. It's been that way ever since Muhammad. And it'll never change. But, you know, that's the first mistake they made, was to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and try to set up Muslim nations as republics. It's not going to work. And then the second problem was just staying 20 years. And then the third problem is having a senile reprobate as your commander-in-chief who hasn't got the brains God gave the hind leg of a dog. And he totally repealed Donald Trump's legitimate plan to get all of us, all of our people out of there. First, they were going to get all of our stuff, billions of dollars of military equipment, hardware, everything. And then they were going to destroy what was left as they evacuated all the Americans.
Make sense?
It wouldn't have been a problem. And you got lying Joe Biden up there telling everybody that it's Trump's fault. That, well, Trump's the one that made the deal to be out by May 1st. Well, you became president and didn't get him out, Joe. And you didn't follow his plan that he had in place, Joe. So we have to bury Lieutenant Corporal David Espinoza, Sergeant Nicole Gee, Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover, Corporal Hunter Lopez, Lieutenant Corporal Riley McCollum, Lieutenant Corporal Dylan Marola, Lieutenant Corporal Kareem Nakui, Corporal Deegan Page, Sergeant Johanny Rosario, Corporal Humberto Sanchez, Lieutenant Corporal Jared Schmitz, Staff Sergeant Ryan Noss, Corpsman Max Soviak.
Oh, yeah.
The Taliban now, because of Joe Biden's incompetence, is armed. Billions of dollars in planes, in not just Humvees. Brother Pedro has explained there's a new, more advanced type of armed vehicle that they left dozens of those behind, and all kinds of arms and ammunition. They've done this before, folks. When Jimmy Carter was president, our CIA trained a man named Tim Osman. You know him as Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
They armed the Mujahideen, and when Carter went out of office, as Carter was going out, the Soviet Union was packing up and giving up on Afghanistan. They learned the hard way, too. You can't turn them into communists or Democrats.
Sure.
And so Mujahideen became Al-Qaeda, armed by the United States of America. And then 9/11, and then 20 years in Afghanistan, we were fighting people, many of whom were trained by us, armed by us, and many of the others trained by those we trained. And they're going to do it again. Because war is a racket. So remember that the next time a 9/11 happens and they get everybody all whooped up into war, kill them all. Just remember this. They've done this over and over and over. Even the wars that I think were legitimate to get into, they false flagged our way into them.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lusitan, World War I, it was set up. Ship was destroyed, and so we had to go over and kill the Kaiser and his people. That was an illegitimate war. No reason America should have been in World War I. None. World War II, there's some reasons why we had an interest in stopping Nazi Germany and being involved in not letting Russia take over Europe and helping out the Jews. They're being genocided in Germany. There are reasons. Pearl Harbor was a setup. It's just plain and simple. Declassified documents will tell you this. FDR knew it and let it happen. It was a controlled false flag event. The Gulf of Tonkin didn't even happen. It was just a big report of something that happened and got us into Vietnam. 9/11. 9/11. We're going to celebrate or observe 20 years. I guess you wouldn't say celebrate. We're going to observe 20 years since 9/11. All indications that that was a false flag event that your government helped orchestrate.
Yep, that's right.
Of course Al-Qaeda was involved, and their CIA asset, Tim Osman, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden, was behind it? Yes. Why? Because you can read about the New American Century, signed off on by Rumsfeld and Cheney and all the neocons that came in with George W. Bush. They said in 1999, before Bush was even elected, he hadn't even been handpicked to be their puppet, and they needed a new Pearl Harbor. So they found a puppet named George W., and they had their Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And now we've had to pull out of Afghanistan, and we need another reason for another war. So let's arm them. That's what Joe Biden just did. Just armed thousands, tens of thousands of Taliban now, trained by Americans, many of them, armed by Americans, and ready for the next war. So prepare for escalation of war, natural disasters, and continued communist suppression from the Democrat Marxists. I didn't have space, so I'm going to mention here, and your rhino Republicans and your neocon Republicans. And so we pray with the psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. That's the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, Amen. The Bohemian Grove, and all the elitist gatherings of Freemasons and other occultists who gather to plan these wars.
Yep.
Verse 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. And that's what they're using COVID for, is to silence you, to put you in a place of submission so that you won't speak out when these things are happening. And we can say, we're going to speak out. We're going to do what's right. Then after the rapture, they can have it. Mark?
That large cache of weapons and hardware over there, that may be part of the setup for the invasion of Israel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all this has the potential and is likely to play a part in the setting the stage for the Gog-Magog War. And the invasion of Israel when they have to flee and go into the wilderness. And Revelation 12 explains all that. But, you know, again, if you get angry, you get upset, you're human. It's good. It means you're not dead yet. But then you have to turn around and do what we just did in Psalms. Give it to the Lord and pray about it and say, Lord, help me to do right. I'm only one man. I will do all that one man can do. And I trust you. And you'll feel this lift off your shoulders. God hasn't called you and me to save the world. you know, that Donald Trump thing now, they're save America. They need to change that. They're not going to save America. We can preserve America for a little while with God's help. But you're not going to save America. What we can do is use this time to preach the gospel, save souls.
Amen.
Save Americans. Yes, that could happen. And I just think they need to change that motto because it's based on a false premise. We're not going to save America.
Amen.
I said that even the Make America Great thing. We're trying to stem the tide. And we had a short time of, what did I call it?
Reprieve.
You listen better than I do to myself. We had a reprieve. And thank God for it.
Amen.
And if it works out the way I want, here in 2024, we'll have another four-year reprieve.
Amen.
Yes.
But if not, then we pray that the rapture happens. Yeah, Johnny?
I think it's because we all realize that the point is we need more than just a good president. What we really need is a revival.
Absolutely.
We need a huge number of people that are standing with a good president.
But the problem we have is at least 20% of the professing Christians opposed Donald Trump's efforts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of the churches, how many are truly saved?
Yeah.
You know, we have a Laodicean church. So,
amen.
But we do what we can with his help. And my wife wrote a song I asked her to sing this morning all about this. It's called In These Perilous Times.
In these perilous times I pray through the blood. To know.
into our Bible study. Brother Rick, would you open the Bible study prayer?
Yes, sir. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the nice weather, sunshine, the rain, the things you grow. Praise you for all the good things you give to us, for your word, and pray that you will enrich us with the message from the pastor this morning. Just pray to watch over all of us coming and going today, and for all of our friends who are not saved.
Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, open to Luke chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you in the pew. And we call ourselves Bible Believers Fellowship. Why? Because we believe the Bible. And that's why when you come here, most of the time we go verse by verse, even when we provide other studies, it's to help us understand the books that we're studying, so that when you go home, you can read your Bible and understand it. God, many times Christians are praying, Lord, show me something. And if he were to speak audible, the Lord would say, look down, it's in front of your face. Amen. That's why a lot of Christians, just the schism and all that kind of thing, and he's giving you his words. These words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
And we try to provide as much happy, clappy, and positive thinking as possible. But going through the Bible, it's not always easy, because there's a lot said about sin. There's a lot said about apostasy. A lot of things you have to deal with. It's a balanced book. There's positive and negative. Well, because in our verse read this morning, verse 49, titled this, Fire on the Earth. Boy, now does that not sound like a happy, clappy sermon? Amen? But it's got an important message, and it's a very balanced. After warning believers to be ready, his imminent return once his work is accomplished. His death, burial, and resurrection, he said, point on moment. Jesus now makes this statement. One that wouldn't sell very many books these days. There is a niche for this, but it's not going to be a bestseller. So look there in Luke 12, verse 49, and if you're there, read it with me.
I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So much for the gentle Jesus. Why did I say that? We don't half jokingly, because it's gentle when appropriate.
Yeah.
See, Jesus is not imbalanced. He's balanced. And there are times where Jesus is very gentle. There's other times where Jesus is downright nasty. And don't tell me it's not. Or Matthew 23 right now.
Amen.
And if you say it's not, you haven't read Matthew 23.
Amen.
There's a time where God cuts loose. There's a time for it. When he returns in Revelation 19, the rapture is going to be happy time. Rapture happens. We all go up. We get a glorified body. Let's go to the judgment seat to get rewards. Let's get our marriage supper of the Lamb. Then we return. How many of you noticed when it says that Jesus, when he comes back, the second doesn't hang around in the air. In the rapture, he hangs around in the air. We meet him in the air. But then when he comes back, he comes to the earth.
Amen.
And what's he doing? Destruction. And we're right there with him. We're right there with him. So Jesus is not the imbalanced, positive-only kook that modern evangelicals pretend him to be. Most of the books about Jesus put out in the last 30 years are imbalanced. Most of the preaching on TV and radio about Jesus is imbalanced.
Amen.
And there's some preachers that are over the top, like the old Deceit and Norman Vincent Peale. More recently, then you have the Joel Osteens. They're in trouble with God. God has called preachers, not just the fluffy parts.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
So back to verse 49, I am come to send fire. And what will I if it be already kindled? Jesus confirms this to be both figurative and literal, according to the times you're talking about. In his time right now, the fire was a figurative fire. that was taking place. The fire is seen in the love of Christ, which is spread by his people. You see, we preach the Bible, and there's judgment, and there's God hates sin. God's going to destroy the wicked and set up his kingdom. There's all that. But you know what? Our message to the world today, repent and believe the gospel, and you can be saved eternally. It don't get no happier than that. Amen?
Amen.
Yep.
So that's our overall message to the lost folks. Some people think we should spend a lot of time warning the lost about the end times and everything, but I have news for you. If they don't believe the Bible, then you're just blowing hot air when you talk to a lost man or woman about Bible prophecy.
I know. Yeah.
It's only somebody who believes the book who's going to take you seriously. They just mock and make fun of you. Rapture. They make movies like Rapture Palooza, you know, that kind of thing. John Wesley said this in his notes in 1754, "I am come to send fire." And his comment is, to spread the fire of heavenly love all over the earth. You see, you may not believe this, you know, but, you know, I'm kind of a flower child at heart. You know, a lot of my shirts, I had one on today I was going to wear, real bright and flowery. You know, Brother Rick and I have a similar taste, and today we dress down. But, you know, I like those bright, flowery. I like happy. You know, I like having a good times. Sometimes I've told you all, you're kind of cranky. We get together and you want to just... like, you know what? I came here to get away from all that. Let's not talk about that stuff for a little while. Why?
Amen.
Let's be happy a little while.
Amen.
We got something to be happy about. Amen?
Yeah.
I got the joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I got the joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
To stay. So anytime we get together, we ought to be able to tap into that. Amen? But I also want to say this before we move on. There are a lot of, we've talked about the positive stuff and all that can go too far, and a lot of it's just false. But you know, even among us who are conservative brethren, who keep an eye on the world events and current events and Bible prophecy, you got to be careful because there's a lot of crap. There are so-called conservative news sources that are just, it's yellow journalism. They'll have a story and the headline will say, so-and-so destroys so-and-so. And then you read it and you're like, that didn't happen. There's a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of false quotations floating around out there. So I say this because I think as we read, continue to read about current events and end times and that kind of thing, you need to be very careful that you test anything you read. I've told this about the coronavirus gene therapy shot that they're calling a vaccine. And there's reports of graphene oxide. And I've got a little flack from people online, a few people giving me flack in emails, that kind of thing, because I won't come out and just tell all this stuff I've read, because I believe we're going to find that that's the case. I think there's enough evidence to say it is the case, but we just don't know how much of the shot is graphene oxide and so forth. And I just tell you that because there's times where you hear things and see things online and internet and everything, you won't hear me repeat, because if I can't confirm it from a legit source, I'm not going to repeat it.
Amen. Sorry, what's graphene oxide?
It's, what's lead?
Okay, it's something similar, so it's lead.
Graphite, graphene, it's all related.
Nice.
You're not supposed to have it in the paint in your walls, but they'll inject you with it.
Lead.
Just like mercury, you spill mercury, you're supposed to call hazmat. Freak out. But we'll put it in your vaccines.
Sounds not consistent with everything else they're doing.
Yeah. I just wanted to use this as an example because John Wesley here, and we're talking about fire. And I saw this a couple times this week. It's a word about a quote attributed to Wesley. I set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn. And you'll see that in different versions of that quote. The problem is, there's no evidence he ever said it. And so I've tried to be very careful. I've heard things quoted through the years And I stopped. How many of you heard about the Shekinah glory in the temple of God?
Yeah.
Hogwash.
Amen.
Shekinah is a pagan female deity. Has nothing to do with God's glory.
Didn't Marv Rosenthal try to peddle that stuff back in the 80s?
It's been around way before that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, these guys claim to know the Hebrew. And really, it came from the rabbis who were into Kabbalah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of evangelicals running around reading rabbis. And I'm like, wait a minute, the rabbis killed Jesus.
Yeah.
You ought to be very careful quoting the rabbis about the Bible. Now, the ancient rabbis, they just don't have a lot from them. So there's not much, you know, before Jesus. But the most of the rabbi quotes you have are from the Maccabean and time of Christ. And a lot of them were into the occult. That's what the Kabbalah is. It's occult. So this is just an example. And why do I mention it? Well, first of all, as I've heard this over the years, I thought that just doesn't sound like something John Wesley would say. Such arrogance and self-glorifying statements never came from Wesley's mouth and pen. I've read his sermons. I've read his journal. I set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn. If I said that, wouldn't you think that's a little cocky?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, if you're on fire and it's not God setting you on fire, it's strange fire.
Amen. Yeah.
And so Wesley would have at least said it was God that set him on fire. But I still just don't see him bragging about it and that kind of thing. That's what a lot of the preachers today, they're very braggadocious.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I don't wear a suit and tie. I tried to tell John, I told Johnny and Stephen came in looking real good. Our neighbor, he had to go home to see his nurse for health reasons and everything, so he's not here right now. But he looked really good this morning. Mm-hmm. Nice. I don't have anything against suits. What my problem is that people think they're putting on a cape.
Yeah.
There's a lot of preachers that think by putting on a suit and tie, they suddenly become super preacher.
Yeah.
And you can almost see it in them, an arrogance. You know, and there's, you know. That's why I try to tell people, I want you to come, and I want you to turn on the live stream or watch our videos or whatever, but I want you to do so because you love the Word of God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, if you like me, that's great. We should. We want to like each other. And, you know, if my voice doesn't sound like fingernails on chalkboards when you hear it. You know what I mean? There's some preachers, especially a woman preacher. Sorry, ladies, but I love your voices in calm conversation. But once they get shrill, you know, it's like, I don't want to hear that. So that's why God, it's almost like God gave women the kind of voice that you want to hear when they're being proper women, because it's nice. But as soon as they try to be preachers, it's like, this sounds like a cat fight. And then I won't get into all the names of female preachers and everything, but they get all dressed up and there's an arrogance. And now you got like Beth Moore. I mean, she wants everybody to think she's hearing from God, and she's being told things that aren't in the Bible, and she's telling people to do things and believe things that the Bible doesn't ever say. Of course, Joyce Meyer's been doing that for years. So anyway, we have to test everything by the Word of God, and we should not knowingly or carelessly spread false quotations or statements. I love those memes like Abe Lincoln, and he says, "You can't believe everything you read on the internet." Uh-huh. And it's a joke, but it's making a good point. Abe wasn't around when the internet was invented by Al Gore. Amen? But this is the doozy. The response you get from Christians: "Well, you can't prove he didn't say it." Now think about how absurd that statement is. Here's when I've seen that, I said, "Okay, then, I like flies in my pudding." John Wesley. You can't prove he didn't say that.
Amen.
See how absurd that is?
Yeah.
And so the best thing to do is, if you don't know where a quote comes from, just say, "I heard this once. I'm not sure where it comes from." Also, don't quote somebody and pretend you came up with it. That's gotten a lot of people in trouble. You know, back in 1988, the United States of America, as a population, had enough sense to laugh Joe Biden off the stage when he ran for president. Because he was a plagiarizer. And he lied about his grades and his IQ and all this. And he would quote things that belonged to others and not give them any, you know, reference. They nailed him. They put it in the newspapers and the magazines. And the Americans in 1988 were like, get off stage, idiot. And then 2020,
they elected.
That's how far we fall. Well, we know he stole it, but you know what? They can only steal it if enough people vote for it. They can only steal it if there's enough people. Like Hillary, they just didn't have enough people vote for her to be able to steal it. She came pretty close. This time there were enough votes for the plagiarizing liar that they were able to accomplish it.
Well, and they also did it. Or we can tell they stole like never before. By making it last, well, you know, weeks and weeks later.
I really believe it. There's no way he got the number of votes that he got. I mean, you're right. They had to have added way more votes than they did in 2016.
There wasn't even that many voters.
Yeah. But then, again, I like flies in my pudding. Okay? You can't prove he didn't say it. So I'm going to make T-shirts. Amen. All right, back to the text. The fire is seen in the enemies of the cross of Christ. I already said the fire is seen in the love of the gospel. But the fire is also seen in the enemies of Christ.
Yeah.
J. Vernon McGee said, even at this hour, when the world is experiencing the deepest darkness we've had in 1900 years, the Lord Jesus Christ is being blasphemed. The fire has been thrown out on the earth today. See, the fire goes out. The fire of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The question is, what's it do in you?
Yeah.
It'll either make you love God or hate God. You'll love God's people or hate God's people. You'll love God's Word or you'll hate God's Word. You'll get to the point where you'll either love heaven or you'll love hell.
Amen, brother.
A lot of these unbelievers will tell you, if that's heaven, I don't want to go there. I want to go to hell. I said, well, you're going to get your wish.
There you go.
So the prophets used fire interchangeably in a spiritual and literal physical manner. I want to run a couple of references just to look at this in the Old Testament so you're clear on it. When you see the Bible talk about fire, you have to ask what context, what's it speaking of. All the Pentecostals quote verses about the Holy Ghost fire, and the verses they quote are actually about destroying people. It's not about speaking in tongues. And so they get all mixed up, messed up in their doctrine because they don't pay attention to context. Now, Isaiah chapter 10, beginning verse 16. Isaiah 10, 16 says, therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like what? The burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a what?
Fire.
Fire. And his Holy One for a what?
Flame.
And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. Now look, it's used both ways in those two verses. There's a fire that is about glory and about kindling in the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. Then it turns and says, and it shall burn and devour. It happened both ways here when it comes to the days of Isaiah. When Babylon came down, you have, we're going to see in a minute, a prophet we'll look at, but you had prophets who were set on fire by the Spirit of God. And they went around preaching. But then that set fires of hate toward them and toward God. And then came Babylon with literal fire. And destroyed Jerusalem. So look at the spiritual fire mentioned by Jeremiah. He also was preaching right before Babylon came down on Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is going to describe one form of fire here in verse 9. He said, verse 8, "For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." See, that's you today.
Yeah.
You go out and preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of God's word, they are going to reproach you, deride you. Then look what he says in verse 9. Read that with me. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I believe this is a mark of a true man of God, a true God-called preacher. You can't shut him up.
Amen.
Even when he wants to shut up, the fire will just burn and he'll just have to say something.
Amen.
And that's what happened with Jeremiah. He was ready to retire. And God's word just burned in him, and he had to speak, had to preach. Well, look one chapter over, 21 verse 10. Jeremiah 21 verse 10. And now verse 9, it says, or let me read verses 8 and 9, we're looking at this. "And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." See, God was saying, you're going to be destroyed by Babylon. Surrender and go with them. You've earned this. And if you fight Babylon, you die. And Jeremiah was called a traitor because he was telling people not to fight. But it was God's word. So then read verse 10 with me. "For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with
fire.
So there you have the figurative and the physical, literal fire. And the literal fire will take place in our future, from where we stand, twice. You're going to have before and after the millennial reign. When Jesus returns at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, he returns with fire. And then after 1,000 years of peace, a wonderful world. You know, everybody sits around talking about, we want world peace. Give peace a chance. All I am saying. Well, listen. Jesus is going to give you 1,000 years of peace. And you know what the human race is going to do? There's going to be a mass rebellion at the end. And you know how Jesus is going to put it down?
Fire.
Look at 2 Thessalonians in your New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is what I started out saying this myself, of course, based on Scripture. In verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels," read verse 8, "in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ," read 9, "who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power," verse 10, "when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." When he returns at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, it's not rapture happy time. He will save the remnant of Israel after 2/3 have been killed. But he's going to round them up and put them in their land. And anyone who has the mark is cast into the lake of fire. And those without the mark go into the kingdom after the world has been completely destroyed by fire. That's what's coming before the kingdom. Now, at the end of the kingdom, yes, we could run to Revelation, but I want to show you this. Peter mentions it. Second Peter. There it is. Second Peter chapter 3, 9 is the verse we quote a lot, but how many times do you think about what comes next? 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Read the next verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There you go. In the meantime, we preach the gospel and fan the fires of love and hate. We don't go out to try to make anybody purposely hate us. And if you do that, that's wrong. You got the wrong spirit. It's like I walk out and, you know, I see I've been confronted with a gang of homosexuals for pride events. I don't start yelling at them, calling them names, you know, and making fun of them or anything like that. I just tell them that Jesus died for their sins. And their choice of sex acts are sinful. As are sex outside of marriage, period.
Yep.
And if you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul preached that. I'm just preaching what he preached. And he said that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried and was rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And just by preaching that, you'll be spit at. You'll be cursed. They'll try to run you over. Any number of things. But we're not out to be hated. It's just a statement so you understand you will be hated. If you preach the biblical gospel, the world will hate you. Look at Luke 6. We read this in our previous studies a few weeks ago in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 6. Done a whole study on this. Sermon on the Plain. Verse 22. Read that if you're there. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now listen, again, it doesn't say blessed are you if you're able to make men hate you. It just says blessed are you when men hate you. Why? Because if you preach what Jesus tells you to preach, men will hate you. I mean, people got this out. We said this before, but we have a few people who may not have heard this, so I'll repeat it. Everybody says, you know, Jesus, they have this image of Jesus. Like, everybody loved Jesus. Like, what Bible are you reading? They murdered him.
Yep.
Not everybody loved Jesus. 11 of the apostles, well, if you subtract Judas, who committed suicide, add Paul, and you've got 11 murdered apostles.
Amen.
And the other one lived to be a rickety old age in pain, probably had terrible arthritic pain and all that because they cast him on the island of Patmos, which is a big hot rock in the middle of the Mediterranean when he was about 100 years old. Think of that. See, that's what we're faced with. Look what it says, though, in verse 23. Read that with me. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Yet just chalk it up as being in the family. That's right. You chose to be in this family, and one of the strange benefits is being hated and persecuted. Jesus said this in John 15, 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
So don't have a pity party. People, you know, hate you because you're standing for the Lord and everything. Well, it hated Jesus before it hated you. Yeah. And I want to look at one last here text here in Jude. Jude is right before Revelation. One chapter. So you can read this today and tell everybody you read a whole book of the Bible. Jude 20 through 23. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's not speaking in tongues. That means you are saved, and with His Spirit you are able to communicate with your Father. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't communicate with Him as your Father, because He's not your Father. Amen. You must be born again. Look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now here's the hard part, because people they just want to be positive and be loved. Read verse 22 with me. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Now that's nice, right? Yeah. Well, verse 23 with me. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I've had people confront me and say, I just don't believe in preaching like that. I don't think you should scare people into heaven. Well, not only do I disagree with you, but the Holy Ghost disagrees with you. He tells us in Jude. There are some people that need the fear of God preached into them.
Amen.
And there's not enough preachers preaching like that today.
That's right.
And some, you know, I've told you stories of myself and others who someone come up to them and said, you know, I'm worried about your soul. I've had people tell me stories. People walked up and said, if you were to die right now, I think you're going to split hell wide open. You say, I wouldn't say that to anybody. Well, shame on you.
Amen.
There might be a time where God's Spirit will guide you to do that. He'll move you to do that. And you better do it. You ought to do it. So, we said all that to lay this groundwork about Jesus Christ and His words here in Luke 12:49. One reason is because of all the false teaching out there. I come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? The question we put before everyone, and I'll put forth to you in case you haven't answered this, is you're going to answer the question, which fire for you? Which fire for you? Are you choosing to be on the end of God's wrath and fire? Or are you choosing to be saved and receive the Holy Spirit, which will kindle a fire in you to love others enough to tell them the truth and preach the gospel? That's your choice. Everybody has to make the choice.
Amen.
And if you reject Jesus Christ, you are choosing to have the fire of the wrath of God on you. If you're saved, you're choosing to have a fire kindled in you that you go around preaching the gospel. Every sinner makes the choice to receive the fires of His love or seethe with hate and suffer the fire of God's wrath. Every sinner makes that choice.
Amen.
Once we're saved, and I believe everybody here makes that profession, if you're not, you better get things right. Stop playing games with God. But if you are saved, then make it your life's purpose to preach the gospel to the lost and grow the courage, the backbone, the spine to even confront professing Christians and say, you may be saved, I can't judge your heart, but your love for the world and your support for wickedness is totally unchristlike, totally unbiblical, and wicked. And if you're really saved, you're in trouble with God. That's Matthew 7. Judge not, read the rest of it. You're supposed to get that mote out of your eye so that then you can point out the speck in your brother's eye. People totally screw that up. We are here to preach the truth, and that includes the other Christians who are calling themselves allies with Sodom. Christians who are going along with Black Lives Matter. All lives matter.
Amen. Right.
Stop bootlicking and preach the truth.
Yep.
Social justice. That's just a buzzword for Marxism. We believe in justice. We believe in biblical justice. We're not on the socialist justice bandwagon. Critical race theory is satanic. See how easy it is? Well, yeah, because I'm in here with you, right? That's right. We need to be saying this outside of the four walls of this building. You need to be willing to make, I don't care if it's your spouse, I don't care if it's your best friend, I don't care if it's your parents, your siblings, I don't care who it is. If you really want to serve the Lord, you're going to be bold and brave enough to preach the truth. Even when they'll call you names and despise you. Amen? I want to end that right there and have the musicians come forward. And we're going to sing what Brother Johnny mentioned we need in this country. Page 485, Revive Us Again.
Go, Johnny.
He didn't even read my notes. 485, Revive Us Again. And I want to be very clear when I use the word revival. I use it in a biblical sense. I don't use it in the sense of what you see going on Christian television and everything, where they get a big crowd of people who sing 7-Eleven songs and they're all happy and everything, and they call that a revival. Yeah. Revival isn't about the size of crowd or how loud you can sing. I'm all for that. I love big crowds singing God's music, not the 7-Eleven stuff. But I'm all for that. But revival, and by the way, revival isn't when souls get saved. Souls being saved is salvation. Revival is when Christians get right with God. If every Christian in America were right with God, it would transform this nation. Imagine if every Christian came to church this morning. Maybe not here, just any all the Bible believing churches. Imagine if every Christian in America were in a church this morning and every Christian believed that 90% of their income is enough and they could give up 10% to the Lord. Think of that. Not because it's law. No, because it predates the law, and you ought to love Jesus enough to be in church and support the work financially. If you don't realize it takes money to pay the bills and do things, then grow up. But American Christians are self-centered tightwads, and that's why we're seeing missionaries begging in places like the Ukraine. They don't have the funds they need to even buy Bibles in the Ukrainian language and gospel tracts in those languages. We got missionaries all over the world, and now they're starting to come to America. Yeah. Why? Because the Christian church in America is so dead.
Amen.
And think of it, every Christian gave gospel tracts out and preached the gospel when they had an opportunity. I mean, just fill in the blank of all the things Christians ought to be doing. It's obvious the mass majority are not. Yeah. That's when you'll have revival. Yeah. Is when Christians are revived and they start doing those things.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, 30 years I've been watching it, and it's just getting worse and worse. Well, you know what? We can still sing about it. We can make this a prayer. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's sing page 485 if you can stand. 485, all four verses, Revive Us Again.
We praise Thee, O God, for the song. Thank you.
the folks online. On a count of three. One, two, three. See you
here, there, or in the air.
God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. Single.
See you, Dad.